Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Super Together. I'm James Cochran.
And I'm Ginger Rothis.
And what are we talking about today?
We're talking about validating each other, James, in quarantine. I think that we all may be struggling to feel seen, heard, loved, understood in all of this togetherness. And I know you and I have been talking. I think I am too. So as we both talked to people this week, you know, I think that we're just done sort of with this lockdown, shelter in place, not working scene. And I just feel like a lot more conflict might be arising, a lot more nerves may be frayed. And so maybe talking about how we validate our partners and how we can validate ourselves might help.
Yeah. So how do we do that?
Well, I would love a therapist's perspective on that. Sure. I think for me, let's start with maybe what I was thinking about. Because again, listeners, you know, now we don't script these. We do them on the fly. And so sometimes there are these moments where we have to track with one another. And now would be one of them. I think that acknowledging someone's feelings and somebody's experiences makes them feel seen, heard, loved, understood. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what every human is longing for, is to be seen, heard, loved, understood. And maybe we are feeling not validated in our relationships right now, or maybe we could do a better job of validating our partners. And that's what we're talking about today.
So my inclination is usually to try to solve problems, to find ways around the current distress. It's easy for me to help somebody understand why maybe their thinking isn't rational. So they're having a particular experience and I can say, well, here are the reasons why I experience it differently, or how you could think about it differently. And from your perspective, what's problematic about that? Because again, it feels well-meaning, but it doesn't come off that way. So talk to us about what that looks like for folks.
Yeah, I think when you jump in to fix my problem, I get a message. It's not what you say, it's what I hear. Mm-hmm. I hear you're not capable of fixing this on your own, and I don't think you'll come up with this great idea, so let me tell you my great idea for what you could do. So it diminishes partly my confidence that I can solve my own problem. It also makes me feel like you were thinking about a solution rather than really being present, listening to what I was saying.
Yeah. I think the other thing it does is it doesn't allow us to feel like they really understand what our experience is like. When somebody goes to correct our experience, often our first instinct is to say, well, I mean, yeah, you could solve it if you wanted to, but mostly what I'm looking for is confirmation that I'm not going crazy, that there is a truth to my experience. You know, if we think about the other uses of the word validate, maybe think about validate parking. So you go to a place and you get your little parking ticket, and then you know, go inside of the building and they validate your parking. And what they've done is they said, you were really here. This experience actually happened. You know, you weren't just like parking so you could go get a burrito. You were parking so that you could go get a scan on your leg or something like that. And then we go back to the parking attendant and we give it to them and they say, oh, I see that this is valid. It is confirmation that this experience happened. You know, and then there are all other kinds of validation, you know, like you enter a valid password. So what we're looking at when we're trying to validate somebody's experience is we're saying, I want to confirm that this is true. So I'm going to look at your experience as you present it to me, and I'm going to let you know, yep, that is a real experience. You're not losing your mind. It is fair for you to feel that way. And whatever else happens next needs to be sort of built upon that foundation. And I think our mistake often when we're trying to be in a relationship with our partners is we think someone comes to us with a problem, they must want it solved. Now, maybe they do want it solved, but the first thing that they almost always want is to have that problem seen and understood, and their experience of that problem seen and understood. And the Tuesday episode next week is going to be on the mind-body connection. And one of the things that I appreciate so much about that discussion that I had was so much of our experience is caught up in our body in ways that we can't fully give voice to. It's not just a matter of our brains and you know, vocal centers being able to say, this is what it's like for me here in this moment. But we might feel uneasy. We might feel not okay. And if we're relying on our partner to, quote, solve that problem, they might be at a loss. We might sit down with our partner and say, I don't know what's going on, but I just don't feel okay in this moment. That's a hard thing to fix. So what do you do? And this is, again, I think where validation comes in, and you say, okay, I see that you're having a difficult time right now. And that makes sense given our context. You know, even if you can't fully explain what's going on, I want you to know that I see and understand that you're having a difficult time. That experience of being seen and validated gives you a place to jump off from, to say, okay, yes, I'm not crazy. Now help me solve this problem. Or, you know, I think I could probably solve it on my own in an hour, in a day. Right now, I just appreciate the fact that you were here with me. So it's a tricky thing to do well, because I think we are so inclined toward problem solving. Is that how you've seen it show up in the work you're doing?
Yeah, yes. And in the work I'm doing and even in my own marriage, I will now, Rob and I have this agreement that I will say, I start the conversation with, I don't need you to fix this for me. I just need you to listen. And that has become, you know, he knows then, okay, I'm just listening. But I find I do this with my children now, and my ego gets damaged because I will ask them, do you want me to solve this for you? No. And I have to then accept that answer, right? And I have middle schoolers, so we're in this age of I hear a lot of struggle from them and things that they find themselves, you know, experiencing or school or whatever's going on. And I now have to ask, because we've had these conversations of how to communicate in our family, I have made it a policy to say, do you want me to help you solve it? And the answer is often no. And then I feel a little pang to my ego of, but I could really help you avoid some pain, right? Because as a mother, isn't that my job? But I have to keep all of that internal. So I think with your partner kind of having this conversation of, do you want me to fix this for you, might be a really good place to start as we learn to get better at validating. I also think that you hit on something really important, which is to honor the person we're listening to is to stay present in the moment, really paying attention to what they're saying, and not jumping to either our thoughts about what they're saying or a similar experience that we've had, or, you know, to really control your mind in those moments. And one of the ways, because I have a racing mind, that I have found I have to practice active listening is to almost become a commentator in my brain of what I'm hearing. And so the way that I kind of do that is they are feeling this, they are saying this, they want this, they did this. And I'm commentating to myself to keep my brain focused on that person and not jump into what I think might be the solution. And that in itself is a way of validating, I think, to stay with them in and actively listen, truly listen to what they're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that is, you know, when you texted me about this topic, what you said was, you know, let's lean into some combination of seen, heard, known, you know, this idea of, and we see that as sort of the principal foundations of like attachment theory and emotion focused work is just like, we want to be safely connected to people, and being safely connected means being seen, heard, and known. And if you can imagine sitting down with somebody and saying, okay, the primary outcome that I'm looking for through this interaction is to see them, to hear them, and to know them. How would that shape the way that you listen? How would that shape the way that you choose to respond? You know, if you want to demonstrate to your partner, let's say your partner sits down and they're talking about how they don't like the way their body looks because, you know, I don't think any of us really love the way our bodies look right now, being stuck in quarantine and maybe making mm-hmm. different kinds of eating decisions than we otherwise would have. And being in that position, and again, what we might want to do is say, oh, well, my experience is that I still find you attractive. My experience is that, you know, you don't need to beat yourself up about that. Your value is not attached to your body image. You know, again, even if these are all positive narratives, narratives that we are inclined to communicate because we love our partner and want them to feel supported, that isn't necessarily allowing them to feel seen, heard, and known, because their experience of themselves is different. Their experience of themselves is, I don't like the way that I look. I don't like the way that I am, you know, experiencing my own body in this moment. And our work as partners, if we're focusing on, you know, connection, attachment, is to say, okay, I see that this is what you're struggling with. I can imagine how hard it must be to hold that experience. And by offering them that, then we can start to work through, okay, now how do we move forward from that? And what role as your partner do I play in that? Do I need to help you challenge those internal narratives? Do I need to offer you more validation and affirmation? Are there things that I can do? Or do I just need to let you know, hey, I'm here with you and the fullness of this experience is really difficult? One of the things, the tools that I give couples that are, you may be surprised to learn, Ginger and audience, that people are really bad at this. It's not something that we do well kind of by default. As you mentioned from our sort of conversational dynamics, we're very inclined toward jumping toward a solution or even, kind of just speaking our own experience of it, even if we're not mm-hmm. solving the problem. Mm-hmm. It's just really hard to start by validating, even though so often that's mostly what we want to hear, at least to start. And so I will encourage people to use really dramatic language to begin the conversation. So if my partner shares with me that she doesn't like the way that she looks, my first reaction might be, it makes perfect sense that you feel that way. Or, of course you feel that way. I can absolutely understand how you feel that way. And if I begin by using really dramatic language to say that there is not a shadow of a doubt that you are feeling what you're feeling, now everything I say after that has to resonate with that, has to ring true to match up with that. So if I say, yeah, of course you feel that way, then I have to ask myself the question, well, why of course? Why mm-hmm. would she of course feel this way? Well, because you live in a world where you're told that your value has a lot to do with the way that you look, and you have become accustomed to being able to care for your body in certain ways, and you don't have the same access to those methods of caring for your body. Those are where our brain starts to go. When we start to say, of course you feel that way, or it mm-hmm. makes perfect sense that you feel that way. Mm-hmm. And a great place not to start from is, well, let me imagine myself into that scenario. Or let me think of how I would respond similarly. You know, so again, maybe I look in the mirror and I'm like, yeah, I'm putting on some pounds, but that doesn't bother me. That's going to make it really hard for me to validate my partner's experience. So rather than another expression that I give folks is, don't think of it so much as walking like a mile in your partner's shoes as walking an entire lifetime in your partner's mm-hmm. shoes, your partner's entire life, to try to get a sense of all the things that led to them being in this exact place, have helped shape the reality that this is their experience. So we know it is true. And then it just becomes a matter of, how do we prime our own minds so that we can offer this? And I think that this becomes really difficult, especially when we're talking about experiences that we have really no frame of reference for. you know, when our partners are distressed about something that we just don't care about, something that we don't have any emotional reactivity to at all, it becomes difficult. A lot of my partners think, well, if I would never react that way to that situation, then why on earth, how could I validate them? How could I tell them that that's true? Because that's not true for me.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one that comes to mind, a tool or a prompt that comes to mind for that one is, you know, you would say something like, I know exercising at the gym is so important to you. And this must be really hard for you that the gym is closed right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you, in your brain, the prompt is, I know you enjoy, or I know you dislike, or I know you prefer, dot, 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 whatever you're talking about in context. And then this time must be really hard for you. Mm-hmm. And you're not in it, and you have to be careful not to patronize it, right? Of like, oh, poor you. It's not that. It's that we're saying, I recognize this is important to you. Thus, I hear what you're saying, and I am trying to feel what you feel. Meanwhile, you know you can't truly understand it. And like in your earlier example, you know, I was glad you went on, because if you would have said, it makes sense that you feel that way and stopped there, I would have been like, it makes sense that you feel overweight. Yeah. So we have to be careful with some of the prompts, right? You went on to say, because our society expects, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, you modeled that beautifully of, I feel your pain. I, in your brain, you're not saying this out loud, I can't imagine it, because you're a woman living in a society where body image is so prevalently on our minds, but you are honoring their experience of that. And so I do think it's helpful to have in your back pocket some of these phrases, like, it makes sense you feel that way. Of course you're struggling with this because this is hard. Or, I get it. I hear you feel this feeling. But those kinds of phrases in your own language that are your go-tos, that don't become rehearsed and mechanical, but instead help you remember the mindset that you're describing, James, of what it's like to live as you in your body at this moment of time, given the context of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if there are conditions that routinely make validation more difficult. And I think that, you know, we've talked about it from the example of, you know, your lived experience is just different from mine. Therefore, me validating your lived experience is going to be hard. I think other situations might be if, you know, we really disagree about a situation. You and I have had two different podcasts talking about money. And I'm thinking about, you know, if my wife has anxiety related to money, and I don't share any of that same anxiety. I have a different sort of thought process and approach toward that. You know, or if, you know, she's looking at the lawn and says, oh, it's a little bit, you know, crazy out there, we should probably do something. And I'm thinking like, yeah, that's a low priority for me. You know, to validate an experience that is sort of just different from ours, that's sort of another place where we would have to regularly contend with. And I think that that gets into a sort of separate level of conversation where I think part of what makes us reluctant to validate is because then we have to ask the question, well, what comes after the validation? And so let's say that my wife looks at the lawn and experiences anxiety, and I look at the lawn and I don't experience anxiety. I might say to myself, well, if I validate her anxiety about the condition of the lawn, does that mean that I'm going to have to go mow the lawn earlier than I want it to? And I think what I want couples to hear is, no, it does not mean that. This conversation about whether or not the lawn should be mowed, that's the solution problem, right? That's the solving my wife's anxiety conversation, which may or may not be a conversation that you have. And the conversation around how do we solve that anxiety might be, okay, let's close the blinds so you don't have to look out the back window. Or, you know, let's have a conversation about when I'm going to mow the lawn, as opposed to, I need to mow the lawn and do that. So I think that second conversation of how do we solve this thing that we disagree on needs to be considered as separate from the validation conversation. We want to work toward validating, seeing, knowing, understanding our partner's experience. And we don't want to think about, if I do that, then I'm somehow on the hook for doing something that I disagree with or something that's sort of different from the way I philosophize about this.
I love that point. And I think that the way that I see those two sections, I like that you broke it up into two different things. The first is listening, right? And the second is solving the problem. So in the first, you're listening, you're not necessarily agreeing, right? Validation doesn't mean I agree with you. Validation means I hear you. And so if we go back to that human longing to be heard, and if we are on the same team as our partner trying to get through life together, then it's important for us to hear them and make them feel heard. So the first part is the listening part. And then the second part is the what do we do about what you're saying. And I like that kind of compartmentalization in our brains. And I think then it becomes, you know, a question of how can I help? And she might say, go mow the lawn, right? And so you have to be ready when you ask the question for what the answer could be. But it also could just be a question of what would be helpful to you or how can we resolve this? But that's the second part. The first part was the listening.
And again, to just reiterate that they don't depend on each other.
Right.
You know, and you may need to be prepared to have a conversation that's complicated and nuanced and is conflictual about, you know, how do we manage this anxiety that you're experiencing when looking at the lawn? Our lawn looks great, by the way. It's never looked better. Sort of stuck at home, you know, I just want the world to know that the Cochran's lawn is awesome. But if it didn't, that becomes a conversation separate from the conversation around validation. I can say, it makes perfect sense to me that you would be anxious about the lawn. You appreciate things that are tidy and organized, and I can see that you look out and you see that it's not tidy and organized, and that lack of organization leads to a sense of disorder in your heart that makes you uncomfortable. And I think it's completely fair for you to feel that way, and I want to try to be a part of helping you manage that anxiety. What are the things that I can do to help do that? Now, she may have this big long list, but you'll notice that I'm not saying I'm going to mow the lawn, that way you're not feeling anxious anymore. The validation is just saying, yeah, you're a human being who likes things to be neat and orderly. That thing isn't neat and orderly. It makes sense that you feel that way. I see you. I see your experience, and I see that your experience is difficult. And all of that is not me agreeing to mow the lawn right now. So it shouldn't ever be something that precludes validation shouldn't be precluded by any anxiety that we have about what we're committing to in solving that problem. I think one of the final things that I would say about where this shows up in the couples that I work with is we talked about, I would have a different reaction. So we have sort of different philosophies. This isn't something that I have the capacity to really understand. That would be the second. And then three is this has to do with me, and it has to do with a behavior that I'm not necessarily agreeing to, so to speak. You're saying that I did a thing, and I don't really think that I did that thing. This is where I see a lot of difficulty in validating. And here's just a prime example that I think a lot of couples experience. It really hurt my feelings when you were yelling at me. And almost always, one of the first reactions that I hear from the partner is, I wasn't yelling. That, you know, I was raising my voice. I love that one. I wasn't yelling, I was just raising my voice. Or maybe it was more in my tone. But there is something reactive and defensive. And we've talked about, you know, some of those dynamics before. But I think that is a barrier to us validating when we feel like we're on the defensive for a particular part of our partner's experience. So I guess I'd want to try to see what would it look like to validate, even if we are maybe affirming something in our partner's experience that for us, we don't believe we did, or we were responsible for, or was an action that we actually took.
Yeah, I think that's a hard one. I think it's really hitting at our ego and our defense mechanisms kicking in. And so I would go back to that thinking that first I'm just listening, mm-hmm. and my job right now is to just listen to this person. I recognize I'm getting defensive, but I'm going to just listen right now. And so it's self-awareness to know this is triggering my defensiveness. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with her. I think this is wrong, but right now I'm just listening. And then going into, you know, that self-reflection of, is there truth to what I'm hearing? Do I need to be open to something I might have missed? And if the answer is no, she is wrong and I am right, then I think in a non-defensive, non-emotional way, that conversation comes up. And it might be with a transition of, I have heard what you said. I think I understand your perspective. Are you willing to hear mine? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, see where that goes. But I really think there is this important space of self-reflection for us all to do, even when that person is wrong. There is still this space for looking inward and saying, why am I feeling defensive? Why do I feel attacked right now? Why is this hitting a nerve inside me as I listen to this? And again, that's not the best active listening because we're going into our own, right, discovery process. But as much as you can recognize that you're feeling defensive, and then that, you know, kind of that sacred pause before you react, I think is so important. But it does take a tremendous amount of self-control and I think practice even. I don't think we're ever taught this kind of communication. I don't remember ever being taught it. I feel like you learn it when things blow up and you're like, oh, yeah, that didn't go well.
You can also learn it in grad school.
Okay, yes, you learned it in grad school.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. If you're trained on this, that's very helpful. But most of us thrown into relationships in high school, even, right? When we start to find partners and we just don't know this. One, we don't know ourselves very well. And now we're saying everything wrong suddenly to somebody else. And so it's natural that we're defensive. It's natural that we don't know how to validate. I feel like we have to kind of learn this, but that's one reason that I think our work is important and why I think the more we can teach on these things and kind of break it down into practical steps, it just helps us, one, communicate better, but it also helps us gain some self-awareness and realize some personal responsibility that we might not have recognized had we jumped right into the solution and not fully listened.
Yeah, absolutely. I think about, you mentioned this idea of, you know, I think, you know, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And then can I share kind of what this is like for me? And as an intermediary step to the degree that we're capable, just say like, here's what I hear you saying. If you can do nothing else, restate their experience to let them know that you were listening. Because sometimes our defensiveness just won't allow us to validate. And so a good, you know, sort of second best option is to say, well, I at least want you to know that you were heard. You know, you might not have been fully known in the way that you wanted to be known, but I did hear you. And another step, you mentioned this pause is at the beginning of the conversation, give yourself and your partner permission for the conversation to take longer than it otherwise would. Say, okay, I want you to share, and then I want to offer myself like a minute of silence. Or if you're going to be saying something that you imagine will be hard for your partner to validate, be proactive and give them a moment of silence. Say, hey, I'm going to share what I want to share, but I want you to take a minute before responding. Another thought that you could use, again, if you feel like you're being sort of convicted in some way that doesn't feel fair, ask yourself this question. This is kind of a trip, but I think it's good. What would it be like if this was true for my partner, ... because it is? Now, that doesn't mean that your experience is not true, but they are sharing what is true for them of that interaction. So ask yourself, what would it be like if my partner experienced me yelling at them? Well, they'd feel upset. They'd feel angry. They'd feel small. They'd feel, you know, all kinds of things that would be unpleasant. And that's what we can validate. We don't have to say, we are sort of guilty of all of these things. But we can say, yeah, that experience is a real one. We can have a further conversation down the line about, you know, let's unpack that interaction because I experienced it differently. Let's really look at all the different things that went into it to figure out how we can do it better. Cause I don't want either of us leaving an interaction like that, feeling hurt, feeling, you know, made small or any of those types of things. So the conversations become more elongated, more nuanced. But I like this, this idea of what would it be like if this was true for you, because it is. Now I want us to recap, because we mentioned kind of some of these practical tools. And I've got four written down and you may have some.
Okay.
So we want to listen as a sort of first responsibility. Listen to see, to hear, to know, to love, to understand. All of that, not focused on solutions, not focused on what our reply is going to be, just saying, I really want to become highly attuned to my partner's experience in this moment. The second one that I have listed is an of course kind of mindset. Just taking for granted that this is the truth of my partner's experience. And I want to reply with that fullness in mind. So of course you feel that way. Absolutely you feel that way. Let me help demonstrate why it is so true that you feel this thing. And don't let our assumptions, our different beliefs, our inclination toward arguing preclude us from validating that we can experience those as separate things. And then create space for our own defensiveness to sort of pass so that we can challenge our own ego, what in us might be triggered that might keep us from having a fully validating response. And then really ask ourselves, what would it be like if it was true for our partners? So that we can validate even when that validation is difficult.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think this idea of stay curious, stay open, you know, as you're listening, try not to get into defensive mode, make this about them, not me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that resisting the temptation to solve it or fix it for them, that's one that's very hard for me. And I think it's hard for a lot of caregiving kind of minded people, because we don't like to see people suffer. And so when we hear suffering, we go right into how do I alleviate this? And I had to kind of learn that that's not the most helpful thing. That's not validating. And so it does take, I think, some mindset work to understand that you actually might do some harm when you jump right into the fix it mode, even though you're trying to help. And you know, and this idea of listen first and then act. I think that's what we're getting at in this. And I love that. What would it be like if this was true? Because it is. If you hear somebody saying it, it is how they feel. And that we owe them that validation.
Anything else that we want to make sure we cover as it relates to validation?
I think we can all just continue to hone this listening presence with the people we love.
Yeah. Absolutely. Ginger, you've got a new class, right?
Yeah. So we put a class out on CompassionFix.com, the classes page called Transcend. It's a 6-week class that the Church of the Resurrection hosted a Zoom version of it. And I'm just leaving it open free to the public if anybody wants to do it. It's on the spiritual practice of contemplation, but really talking less and loving more and being quiet, learning to sit in silence. And then we look at the Christian mystics, who were people that were really good at that. And they kind of took on the church because they wanted more silence and contemplation. So it's a fun study.
Yeah. Cool. So you can find more information about that and the rest of Ginger's practice at
CompassionFix.com.
And you can find out more information about my practice at talkingwithjames.com. As always, our show drops on Tuesdays and Fridays. And if you could rate us and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, any of the places where you get your podcast. That helps other people see our show. So we'd love for you to do that. And that will do it for us today.
Be well.